Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jason McConnell, and I brought my esteemed co-host, Laura, back for another amazing series. Say hello, Laura.
Hello, Laura. I kind of had to.
As for the listeners, I know you're all clapping right now because this is very exciting. And for those of you who have been following my ministry mission for a while, you'll remember that Laura and I took on this massive challenge of diving into the book of Revelation. 9 months, 14 episodes, nearly 10 hours of content, and wow, what a journey. But we're not stopping there. We have to do this again. But this time, we're tackling something that's just as fascinating, the many parables of Jesus. Now, why did Jesus choose to teach with stories? What was he trying to reveal and to whom? You might be surprised to hear that the Bible actually gives a more direct answer. In this episode, we're kicking off the new series, exploring these incredible parables by explaining why Jesus used parables. So grab a coffee, settle in, and join us as we dive deep into this amazing journey of faith. So welcome back, Laura.
Thanks, Jason.
What were you saying?
I don't even remember.
Excellent. So looks like we're doing this again.
We're off to a very good start.
Of course, hitting the ground running. What have you been up to since Revelation?
Teaching.
Living.
More teaching, living. Little bit of travel here and there, but mostly teaching and trying not to go crazy.
It's a noble effort. Noble effort. I am so glad we're doing this again, but this time around, we're going to do things a little bit differently, and we've talked about this. With Revelation, there was a lot of very deep and intricate content. It required us to do a ton of homework, and as a result, those episodes were heavily scripted. This time, however, we're going to go pick some high-level topics and just kind of dive in with our own perspectives and what we've learned and just talk about these parables. So I think this is going to be pretty cool. What do you think, Laura?
Oh, I think this is going to be fantastic.
Right? I mean, if not, you can all blame it on me. This is totally my idea.
Hey, you cannot take the sole blame for this, my friend. No.
If it's great, it was totally my idea.
You can't take sole credit either.
Fair enough. Okay, so I love to do my little preludes, my little lead-ins, and I'm going to invite you to join me in this conversation, but I was thinking about this the other day. I love my church. We do so much good work, so much of God's work. I spend time volunteering wherever I can. Most of the time, it's helping in various aspects in the children's ministry. And a lot of that is just running the check-in station, you know, getting the kiddos checked in, getting the labels, and getting them, you know, ready for the classrooms. Well, I love this position because it gives me the opportunity to spend a little time with all of these kids and to kind of notice them, because everyone wants to be seen. And I think children are no exception. In fact, I think they may be more than most want to be seen. I mean, Laura, how many times have you had a kid say, like, look at my new cup, my new backpack, look at my shoes, check out my hair, look at what I made, my stuffed animal, and so on.
You have no idea.
Right?
I mean, you're with them, what, a couple of hours every Sunday? I have mine for like 6 hours, 5 days a week.
I don't know how you do it.
Me neither.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I've even had one of my friends kind of do video chats, and they all want his attention.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely.
They all want to be heard. They all want to shout. It's like, no, slow down.
I know, right? They all just want to be seen, and everybody wants that, but children are just really, really hungry for that. But it gives me an opportunity when I'm checking them in to make it a point of noticing them. I get to let them know I see them, notice maybe a new hairstyle or a new dress, or, you know, maybe he's wearing a tie or new shoes or new glasses, or maybe they have a Minecraft or Superman shirt on, and we can, you know, kind of bond at how geeky we are. And maybe I'm wearing my Superman socks. I don't know. It's a thing. Right?
Okay. It's a thing.
But I get to just tell them how great they look, how happy I'm to see them, and just, you know, just be like, hey, I'm so glad to see my friend. And it doesn't really stop there. I get to know the families, connect with the parents, you know, find out there's common interests. And I mean, this is harder because I only see the kids for a couple hours a week. I only see the parents for a couple minutes a week. But it's all possible. And Jesus knows each of us better than we know ourselves. And I figure the least I can do is try to get to know the people in my church that I have the privilege of interacting with, right? So, but I wanted to share that with you and with the audience, because I feel like we each have an opportunity to make that impact in somebody's life, whether it's a child or an adult, an elderly person, a stranger on the street. And it kind of takes me, you know, I wrote down John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple. Right? That's so important.
Absolutely. I mean, they're not going to know that we are followers of Jesus, that we are his disciples, unless we show that love.
Yeah, you can say it all day long, but until you show it, people don't believe you.
Actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. So as you're out there, just a reminder, show others that we are his disciples. Get out there, love your neighbors, love each other, love your enemies, forget those who persecute you. Show the world that you're a disciple of Christ through your words as well as actions. I call it gospel in action. So anyways, that's my little lead in. Ready to move on, I guess.
Sure.
So that was abrupt. I'm sure a lot of people out there are curious about these parables. So let's just start doing that.
Alrighty then.
Would you be surprised to know that even the disciples had this question? And Jesus actually answered it, right? Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right, Laura?
Would that be the question on why do you talk in parables?
Yes, it's exactly the question. but I think
Matthew 13:10, if I am in the right verse.
I think you're right. I have that written somewhere. I don't have it in front of me. But yes, I think you're right. But what is a parable? Like, let's start there. What do you think, Lauren? What's a parable? How do we define that?
The easy answer is it is a earthly story with a heavenly viewpoint. But I did some research because most people aren't just going to take that pat answer. It is a short story that does teach a moral or religious lesson, and it is different from a fable. Actually, I just got done teaching my students about fables. And fables do the same thing. They teach a moral or religious lesson, but fables use animal characters, whereas parables use human characters.
That's a fun little distinction, and I love that earthly story with heavenly roots. I didn't find that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The definition I got was a story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. So it's same thing. It's just condensed. But I did, you know me, I love my linguistical biblical study.
Oh, absolutely.
So of course, I had to dig into the word parable, which comes from the Greek parabole, which is derived from para, meaning alongside, and bole, meaning to throw something. So
exactly.
Gives a fun little visual.
Well, I mean, we do study those figurative language type things in school, comparisons, analogies, similes, metaphors, and it all kind of goes together.
Your teacher's showing.
Yes, I know. But where?
Right. I thought a good way, because it's basically placing one thing aside another. It's kind of a context of it. But I think another word, and you'll love this, another word is juxtaposition.
Oh, yes. You and your $10 words.
I love those. But in this case, Jesus is using stories that were thrown alongside or juxtaposed to a truth in order to illustrate that truth. That's where I ended up with that line of thinking.
Right. And it does kind of remind me of a series my church does every year. they do an At the Movies series where they take popular films and they pull out biblical truths, even if the movies themselves weren't Christian movies. Like the ones we just did back in November. I know they did one on Gran Turismo, The Blind, Walk the Line, The Boys in the Boat, and Hacksaw Ridge. So they were all true stories that were adapted to film, and then they just pulled the Bible truths out of those.
Nice. I just recently, you mentioned something that spawned a memory. I just recently finished watching the whole Duck Dynasty series. I've never watched it before.
Oh,
it's amazing. But then I went and watched the movie The Blind, which that's all new to me. And yeah, that was a tough movie to watch. That was amazing, though.
Even the clips we saw in the sermon, and unfortunately they can't put it online because of copyright issues.
Of course.
But even the clips in the sermon were hard to watch. And they didn't even show very, very short clips, but holy moly.
Yeah, once you watch that, though, you understand why Miss K gets whatever she wants.
Oh, of course.
That sounds amazing. Like, watching a movie, yeah, and then pulling out the biblical truths in it, whether it's meant to be a religious movie or faith movie or not. That sounds challenging, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it actually did work out very well. They've done a great job with it. One of the favorites they did Godzilla one year.
Really?
They did Avengers Endgame. Toy Story 4. I mean, they've done so many, but again, copyright issues, can't put them online.
Yeah.
I actually, several years ago, had a conversation with a friend about biblical truths in Disney movies.
That sounds interesting.
Well, Frozen. The first one I thought of was Frozen. Elsa's whole problem was she was afraid.
Yeah.
Because her parents were afraid of her. They showed fear. But in 1 John 4 something, I will find that as I'm talking, it says perfect love casts out fear. So if her parents had accepted her and shown her love, then she would have been able to control her powers sooner. Which is why Anna's love for Elsa was what solved the whole thing of the movie, the whole problem of the movie.
You've just blown my mind.
Is that a good
seriously
thing?
Yeah, no, that's good. So, anyhow, veering back on topic, the next question I had written down. What was that?
Are your listeners know very well how many scrabbit trails we go down.
Oh yeah,
and these aren't even scripted rabbit trails. So. Or Scrabbit trails. Have fun.
Yeah, no, this is gonna be interesting. So, second question I have written down is, why did Jesus use parables? And the first thing that came to my mind was that, and here it is, Matthew 13:10, is they straight up asked him, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he answers it in 13:11-13, and I'm gonna read it, and then you can help me decipher it, because it is a little bit of a word salad. But he replied, because the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And it kind of goes on to explain that this is a fulfillment of Isaiah 6 verses, I think, 9 through 10, somewhere around there.
Yes. Yes. I did come up with that as well. One of the websites I looked at, it said Jesus used parables for two reasons: to reveal the truth to those who wanted to know it, and to conceal the truth from those who were indifferent. And that kind of leads me back to some of the verses in Revelation. He who has ears, let him hear.
That is so true. I didn't even make that connection.
So, a little bit of background to that, and the website kind of broke it down for me. So, if you go back to Matthew 12, verses 22 through 32, the Pharisees are publicly rejecting Jesus. They are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, 22 through 32. Hang on. So, this was the whole story about Jesus and the prince of demons. I'm not going to read it all because that is a very long passage. But basically, the Pharisees heard about the miracle of Jesus casting the demons out of the man and healing him. And they were saying, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons.
Right.
And of course, Jesus had to throw elbows on that one.
Yes.
to use your phrase, Jason. Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcist?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot about that part. That was, yeah, he did throw up us there.
Oh, and how. But so those Pharisees were fulfilling that prophecy in Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, because it talks about hard-hearted and spiritually blind people. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So he's basically saying that the Pharisees are fulfilling this prophecy here in Matthew 13, and that's why they didn't understand the parables, because Jesus knew that the Pharisees would just dismiss the stories as irrelevant nonsense. And Jesus would then go on to explain the parables to the disciples in private.
Right. And that what surprised me, and what's funny is that intellectually I knew this fact, but it never dawned on me that it was significant. But it was, Jesus didn't start out using parables. In the early parts of his ministry, he didn't. But he just suddenly started doing it pretty exclusively, and it was after that Matthew 13 kind of era.
Yes.
And it was because of how the Pharisees rejected the Messiah and they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And that's when that prophecy was fulfilled and he began to speak in parables.
Absolutely. Because he was speaking plainly and they were rejecting him. They were plotting to kill him. So he's thinking, all right, well, I'm just going to dial it back a little bit, use parables. I mean, he's like, they're going to kill me anyway, but, you know, let's...
Right, let's go down swinging.
He's like, let's just delay what they're doing because I need to get these stories out to the people who actually want to understand it.
Yeah, he was able to minister without fear of being caught or persecuted at that point. It was everything happened on God's timeline. And people, I don't know if people really understand that the persecution, the crucifixion, everything was precisely when it was supposed to happen and not a second sooner.
Or later.
And that's why the Roman soldiers couldn't, you know, at one point they couldn't catch him.
You know, yeah. He just disappeared in front of
him. Right.
I mean, and it kind of makes me think that God is Gandalf or a wizard, because a wizard is never late, nor is he early.
Well, I mean, Lord of the Rings is...
Yeah.
Faith-driven, so I suppose that's okay.
That is a very good way to put it. I like that.
But the way I understand that Isaiah 6 prophecy is that God was looking for a volunteer, which seems odd. It seemed odd to me at first. Why would God ask for a volunteer? But he wanted a willing servant who would surrender to him. And Isaiah volunteered. And the verses that you read, he basically commissioned Isaiah to go warn the people of Judah about their ruin. And God knew that they were... You know, they would hear Isaiah, but they wouldn't heed his warnings. But
absolutely.
You know, he knew the people of Judah had gone too far. He wanted Isaiah to spread the message anyway, knowing that nobody was going to pay attention.
Right.
And that's kind of where the Pharisees fall in, is that the people of Israel are doing it again to the Messiah. They receive the news of Jesus with the same blindness, deafness, and closed hearts that Isaiah received. And by rejecting Jesus, the unbelievers couldn't receive the mysteries of the kingdom. That's kind of how I interpreted all that.
Exactly. But I do want to backtrack a little bit to what is a parable, because I, in the research I was doing, I came up with three different types of parables.
Ooh, all right.
Which to me was very interesting because I never thought about it that way. And there is a very good chance I'm butchering the pronunciation, but the first one was called a similitude. which was told in the present tense. And what that, of course, very short, and it narrated a typical and recurrent event from real life experiences, kind of like the woman with the lost coin, or the shepherd with the lost sheep. Which of you wouldn't go get the sheep? What woman wouldn't search her whole house for the coin? So it's in the present tense right now. One of the other ones was called, which is where they all come from, is parable. And a parable was actually past tense and told in a one-time true-to-life but fictitious event. So I would teach that to my students as realistic fiction. Mm-hmm. Could happen, could have happened, but it didn't.
Well, that'd be like the Good Samaritan?
Like the Good Samaritan. It would start off with something like a certain rich man or in a certain city or something to that effect.
Makes
and
sense.
Similitudes and parables are comparisons between two very different things. Actually, the Good Samaritan wouldn't fall under parable because it's an example story or an exemplary story. So it's an example, not a comparison. And it illustrates a general principle like kindness and generosity and things like that.
Similitudes and parables and exemplaries, oh my.
I really want to make a Wicked reference right now, but
I mean, it's popular. Only, go for it.
Oh, you beat me to it. I was going to say something like no one mourns the wicked or something like that.
Right.
Sorry. If you guys remember from Revelation, I'm very much a musical fan, as is Jason. So yeah, we'll go with that.
Speaking of which, complete segue. That
Elphaba or Glinda?
Yes.
Both?
Because in March, the kiddo and I are going to see Wicked on Broadway.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
That's why we held off watching the movie. We're actually going to wait, I think, until...
The movie is fantastic.
That's what I've heard.
The stage show is fantastic. It's all fantastic.
It is. It's all fantastic. Anyhow, sorry.
Anyway.
Let's grab it.
Yes. That's our catchphrase. Scrub it!
Right? So bringing us back full circle, I think one of the more important aspects of reading parables is to avoid treating them like allegories, because that was something that I read. Allegories are stories that are interpreted to reveal some hidden meaning, like a political meaning or a moral lesson. And allegories have to be interpreted, whereas parables have one basic central meaning, and they don't need to be torn apart to be understood. It's a spiritual moral lesson.
Right. So
that was one thing one nuance that I found.
But that's not to say that parables can't have more than one meaning depending on the context.
Fair enough. Yeah. So I was thinking, how do we interpret them though? Like, how do we look at a parable and try to figure it out? You know, without commentary, without context, with just the parable itself. And what I came up with through research and whatnot is that as we sift through the parable, we have to identify what's relevant and irrelevant in the details. Some details, parts of it, are essential to constructing the central theme or themes, if you will. But there's a lot of details that really aren't that important. I wonder if that's what confuses the people that don't believe, are those other details that kind of surround the main point.
Right. Which the way the website I found said it, it said distinguish between the meat and the ornamental language. So the example they gave was the parable of the seed. Where'd it go? with the four types of soil. And the thing is, it didn't matter how many types of soil there actually were. It was that language was in there designed to make things more realistic, but there could be several different, or there could be combinations of. I mean, there could be weeds and rocks in one place. Yeah, so I'm trying
That's
to.
Interesting.
I am on, sorry, I'm trying to find the verse that they referenced. You had mentioned something about context.
Mm-hmm.
And in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, it says, they go in to talk about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And verse 9 says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. So that kind of sets the context. Who was Jesus talking to? So it, I mean, the context does matter. So we, mm-hmm. I mean, we could read that parable by itself, which we'll get into another day. And we can pick it apart then. But if we don't know who Jesus was talking to, then the parable itself won't make much sense.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah. Totally makes sense to me.
I'm glad.
One of the other interesting things that I found was that it's, you know, some of the mashing together different sites and research and whatnot, but it's consider the cultural norms and mores of the original audience as you're going through the text as well. Because as you said, you know, the original, who was the audience, but not only who they were, but what's normal for them. Like the Good Samaritan, for example, you know, one stuck in my head is that the context, you know, the idea of the, you know, a Levite leaving the injured man, well, contextually it makes sense because, I mean, he didn't want to risk becoming unclean. He, you know, he is a Levite priest and he had important work to do. So he moved on. And, you know, without that context, that Levite leaving the scene doesn't have as much of an impact, right?
Right. And it goes to show that you can follow the letter of the law, but not the spirit. So by law, he would have been considered unclean, but was he showing kindness and compassion to somebody who was hurting?
Right.
Or was he more concerned with his own problems, with his own self?
Absolutely. So another example I found was social considerations. You know, going back to that Good Samaritan, it seems to be stuck in my head. Understanding the social tension involved in reading that parable helps understand why it was such powerful. Why is it so important that a Samaritan was the one that was the good guy, right? Why was that such an astounding story for Jewish people? Well, because of how they looked at Samaritans, right?
Exactly. I mean, Samaritans were the outcasts. They were the ones that everybody looked down upon. I mean, it was better to be a tax collector than a Samaritan, if I recall correctly.
I do like how the Bible singles out sinners and tax collectors. I mean, it's pretty bad when you have your own category.
Exactly. Yeah, that is pretty bad. But it's like, but it also goes to show that just because somebody's outcast doesn't mean they have to treat the other people with just as much contempt as they are treated with.
I think this is going to be pretty awesome going through these parables. I've always wanted to kind of really focus in and deep dive into them. And
you know, there's like 35 plus, right?
I know. We can pick and choose or combine. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it'll happen. Chances are we're going to reference several of them in relation to whatever one we pick. So whatever.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'm sure there are thematic ways we can address it too. Ooh, but
that's
good. Right. So, all right. Well, I think that's good for our intro episode. I am super excited to be doing this with my good friend Laura again, because she brings so much into the conversation, augments a lot of what I say with her own research. It's really fun. So I don't know which parables we'll start with or how we're going to put it together. I'll announce more about that as we discuss it and figure it out. And I'll post updates on Facebook and Twitter. So go there and follow me. Whatever.
Hey, Jason, didn't you say that this particular episode is a milestone episode for my ministry mission?
It is. I'm so glad you brought that up. I should have said that in the intro. But yes, this is the 100th episode of my ministry mission. And when I started this a little over 2 years ago, I never thought I would reach 100, to be honest. I wasn't sure where I was going to go with that. But yes, Thank you for reminding me. That is somewhere in my notes that I seem to have skipped over. But but yeah, that's the 100th episode. Can you believe it? I'm doing this 100.
Well, I mean, we did spend about a tenth of that, a little more than a tenth of that time on Revelation.
That's fair. It is fair.
Hey, we tithed Revelation.
We did. Oh my gosh, that's so great. We tithed Revelation. Oh, please don't go anywhere, listeners. But anyways, yeah, we're going to jump into this. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's like I said, it's going to be like this. It's going to be unscripted. We're going to have some talking points, and I'm sure we'll have
probably
a lot of laughs, some scrabble shells and variations, and most likely geek and Broadway related puns and
oh yes,
segues. Yeah. So until next time, keep loving your neighbors, dive into God's word daily. May the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with his peace. Take care and God bless, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.